evening, good morning, no matter where in the world you are. All I know is that the Highbury squad are going up in the world. We have an MBE in the house. That's right. This is going to be a good Inside the Dressing Room with Mr. Sean Gota. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. If you're listening live and if you're on replay, thanks so much for joining us. And thank you to Mr. Sean Gota. Let's give him a warm Highbury squad welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Gota, MP. KC celebration. What was your signature celebration before we get stuck in? Because every single time someone says something great, I do the KC celebration. Did you have a signature celebration?
Well, no. What I used to do so that people couldn't remember me, I used to, whichever ground I went to, I used to mimic the top player, top goal scorer's celebration. So if I went to Newcastle, I do the Alan Shearer, put the hand up.
That's great.
We all remember Kenton, our scorer for United, where he sort of just stood and just looked around. Well, you know, when I scored at United, when I did exactly that, but all the lads were top of me, I'm like, you're killing celebration.
Cramping your style, your celebration style.
Never got to do it at Arsenal because we were normally two or three down, and then the game was over in 20 minutes.
Well, you'd have fun there these days, Sean, that's for sure. You'd be celebrating left, right and center, no problem. Thank you for joining us. We love our series Inside the Dressing Room. I'm going to get stuck in. This is going to be 45 minutes of top shelf conversation, everybody. We had Jason Cundy, Mickey Gray before. We've spoken to Warren Barton and Stevie Nichol, Sean, and everyone has their own journey. Your journey is really interesting, and it came my way a little bit here through the United States as well. You were born in Bermuda, but your soccer opportunity or football opportunity came through the United States. Before we get right inside the dressing room, can you just let everybody know a little bit about how that came to be and how you were scouted by Manchester United here in the US?
Yes, well, it was back in 1988. Man United had been to Bermuda for a mid-season, actually in 87. They went to Bermuda for a mid-season break. It was around November time. And Man United had played Bermuda, sort of select squad. And in Bermuda, we have what they call a doubleheader, which is two games at the same venue, back-to-back. And the first game really was the under-18s playing, Bermuda under-18s playing Bermuda under-21s. And then United playing the Bermuda select team. So that's when Sir Jason had seen me play, bought me trials, and yeah, came over to lovely, sunny, warm Manchester.
Amazing. And really, and before we get to the United,
from
the United thing, sorry, I was just going to, sorry, go on from there, because before we go to United and get inside the dressing room
at the time, I was over in America. I was actually at a college with a full scholarship. And if I had accepted the trials, I would have fulfilled the full scholarship. But when you're young, you don't really look at those situations as a pressure situation. I was just like, I want to be a professional footballer. And just went for it. My mother said, well, well, there's two things about it. One, she was a full scholarship, so she wasn't paying for it. Two, she said, well, if you don't make it, I ain't got no money to pay for the scholarship. So you do what's in your heart. If you feel you can make it, then go for it. And so I went for it. She left it totally up to me, and I went for it.
Was your mum a footballer too, Sean? Is that how it all started? Or she was in sports, right, your mum? Maybe I read that wrong somewhere.
You guys have done some research, haven't you? You guys have done some research. Yeah.
These girls are sharp, Sean.
My mother used to play for, I'm telling you, the fuck is in the boxes. I reckon there's four girls, these two. My mother, she used to play for a team called Bermudiana Cosmos. And it was, the name was around the Cosmos, New York Cosmos, Pelé, Pelé and the like were playing in America. So my mother was, you know, avid football fan, and you know, I used to get in trouble if I would make her late. And one particular story, I'll show you once or twice. We'd be on a moped going to the game. It was raining, so she hits brakes. Bermuda's only 20 miles per hour speed limit, so she hits brakes. I see the bike's gonna slide, so I heard her. I jump off the bike. She does the same. The bike just slides a few. So she goes, "Are you okay? You okay?" Yeah. So there was the car in front of us. We didn't get near it, and there was nothing behind us. Luckily, she says, "Quick, get on the bike. I don't want to be late for the game." that was my mother's love for football.
Oh man, that's awesome! I love that. And yeah, mums are special, and it sounds like she was a huge influence for you. So you go from Bermuda to the United States. Yeah. And then you find yourself in Manchester, and this is where we jump into the dressing room stuff here. Talk us through that first experience, especially I think it was in 89 you arrived in Manchester, where the kids would have been involved then, the Gary Nevilles of the world, the Beckhams, they would have been there at that time, Nicky Butt, you got the 92 squad. Tell us what it felt like jumping in and what that experience was for you, being even in a youth dressing room at Manchester United and being at a club like that coming from Bermuda.
Yeah, well, first of all, the players in there were just so talented. And strangely enough, I mean, we all have heard of and know Mark Bosnick, the goalkeeper that went on to play for the first team. Mark Bosnick was one of those players in that time that obviously also went on and done well. There was Mark Robbins, was another one that was sort of in their squad. Russell Beardsmore. I'm trying to think of the names that were in that particular squad that we all know, but there were so many. There was a lad named Ray Bullimore. I tell you, this kid had left and right foot. In fact, he would suit the game today. And I think at the time, he was one of those players where they wanted more physicality from him. And he really wasn't appreciated. And I just thought this guy was, I mean, it was so much talent there. And I didn't have that much talent. And I just thought, well, so when I look back and I think where my career went and where, you know, these guys sort of fell off and drifted to lower clubs and the league, etc., where they had so much talent and ability. So when I was in the dressing room, for me, first it was adjusting to the weather. The weather, it was cold. It just was cold. When you're coming from Bermuda.
It's a bit different from Bermuda.
So the dressing room, I was always the last one coming out because it took me an extra half hour to thaw my feet and my hands. they were just in pain. I used to suffer. I distinctly remember, probably a few years later, when people used to sort of, John Barnes used to wear tights, and they used to say, "John Barnes, softy, daddy," and I'm just thinking, no, that's what I want to do, I want to wear tights, and, you know, keep warm. But yeah, those were the times it just be tough. You know, managers used to say, you just had short sleeves. There wasn't long sleeves. You could wear a t-shirt, sort of a long sleeve shirt under. So it hardened me, and I'm glad for that, really, because I think if I had a more comfortable pathway, it would have taken me longer. So that rough and tough sort of mentality that I came under in terms of the managers then. But it was still a great time. You know, the Man United dressing room, the talent that was there was unbelievable. Mark Hughes, Brian McClure, they never really got injured. I mean, those two played 60 games, and you just think that there was no such thing as rotation. And truth be told, I was like fifth choice. I was sort of fifth, but in my mind, I thought, because we were doing well, the reserves were doing well, the first team. If you all can remember, so Alex Ferguson's early years, he was really struggling. So, you know, there was a part inside, like, I hope we lose, because then he's got to then add players to the squad or try something different. But I look back and I reflected that, yeah, There was Mark Robbins. There was Lee Sharp as well, one of the players that was around at the time. So there was a lot of players, I think he would have tried and pushed Ian and played centre forward probably before myself.
Mm. Wow. So can I ask you a question, Sean? You play for quite a few clubs. Who was your favourite manager and who was your least favourite manager?
I think we lost Sean for a quick second.
No. That's a very good question. I don't know. Unless players have a really bad time. Unless players have a bad time with the manager, then they'll categorically go, yes, he was my worst manager. I would say Joe Royal was a manager that believed in me.
That was Joe Royal, everyone.
When fans were initially getting on my back, he stuck with me. So so for that, I put Joe Royal right at the top, because we all know as players, you need your manager to believe in you as well. So Joe Royal was believing in me, and all the fans were saying, no, not him. There was one period where fans were sort of booing or saying my forward player in my early years. But you know, I was a determined player to want to turn that around. So my journey, you know, this is why I've got such a report on fans, because so that whole journey of turning the fans around, being a top goal scorer, I suppose winning a few fans you know, money when they were betting. all those sort of things came into it. But so I would say I was disappointed. I would say Kevin Keegan, because I really would play under. But he had in his mind that, I suppose, he had other players in his mind that these players is going to go and take the club to the next level. And strangely enough, I was top goal scorer when he came. And while he was still regularly scoring goals, so it became difficult for him to leave me out, because I scored more regular than the players he was bringing in. He bought in Anelka and Robbie Fowler, and strangely enough, Anelka had scored 12 goals in his season four, and I had scored 11. And I scored 11 goals, but I had played a third of the season, so I was sitting there thinking. Because we had a whole ceremony, you know, he did this. Now, top goals. And I'm thinking, I still play. I still short of a good 20 games than him. And you're congratulating Anelka. What about me? But so at this point, because I really wanted to play under him, and he never sort of gave me that chance. And so that's a little bit disheartening when you really want to play for a manager.
Sean, hold on one second, because what you're saying is unbelievable, and you're cutting out a little bit on us, and I'm not sure if it's the wire or what, but if you want to try and bounce back in and out, I can add you back into the. Let's see how it sounds for the next couple of minutes. Just know that some of it is cutting in and out, and what you're saying is so great.
So vital. It's vital.
We don't want anyone to miss it. We can't hear
the Joe Royal and Kevin Keegan stuff, which I'm not sure if everyone's made out, but Kevin Keegan came into Manchester City, and Anelka, ex-Arsenal player, was there.
Go on, Sean. And then come back in.
Yeah,
sound really good on that. Try go out and come back in, and we'll be here waiting for you. He looks dynamite, doesn't he?
He looks very well up front.
I mean, I love it. I love it. I'm gonna remove you and then
bring him back in.
Come back in. All right.
No, but how interesting to hear that. You know,
I want
to
hear it all.
Yeah.
Because KC, the interesting thing on the Keegan front, and our good friend of the show, as we know, Warren Barton, spoke about Keegan and how he was. I want to hear Sean's version of him in the dressing room, especially because Warren was like, Keegan said, just go out and play. That was it.
Yeah, but you see, Sophie and Amanda, this is the important part about football. One manager, one player will think he's the best thing since sliced bread. The next one comes into the club. Sean's a legend at Man City, and next minute he don't fancy him.
Yeah, right.
He wants to bring his own players in. You know, it's crazy.
It is crazy because also, and I was going to say this to him, I can't remember if it was before and after, but in 2000, Sean was also Player of the Year for Manchester City as well. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Sean too is that he you survived relegation. He went through to the second division.
Yeah, which is League One now. Yeah.
Which is League One now with Manchester City. And so it's crazy to think that he was in League One, then he went to the Championship to give everyone an idea of what that means in modern football.
Yeah.
And then got to the Premier League. So I think we have Sean back. Hey, Sean. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Okay, we're going to roll with this and let's see how it works. So I'm going to throw this question to you because you were saying about Joe Royal and Kevin Keegan, and Arsenal fans obviously interested in the Anelka side of things, and it's so easy to just give the big signing the juice.
The spot,
right? Casey and I were talking about this on yesterday's show, even, you know, with Wrighty and stuff, right, Casey, about... You know, how what chances you get or not. Sean, you were the Player of the Year in 2000. Was that around the time Anelka came? And then the other thing too is, talk to us about Keegan in the dressing room. What kind of manager was he in the dressing room for you?
I think Anelka came around 2000, may have been 2002 or 2001. Yeah, he was a big signing, marquee signing. He also then bought Robbie Fowler around 2003. That was the time when I had moved on. In the dressing room, I would say that in terms of his motivation, he was absolutely brilliant in terms of his motivation. You know, he had the sort of sayings, I wouldn't want any other players. You know, I wouldn't swap not one of our players for them. There's sort of cliche things, you know, when I look around his dressing room, I see quality. We just got to go out there and execute a game plan. So he was, for me, he was the best motivational manager. But what we know is there's a lot more beyond just motivation, tactics, man management, and, you know, and a number of other things. But my time, Keegan, I was really excited because, again, I'm this little boy that comes from Muta, and Kevin Keegan being a household name, world name, global name as a player and also as a manager, also as a striker, I was so looking forward to playing under him, you know, being managed by him because I was a student of the game. I always wanted to learn and become better. But I was the disappointing part for me. I don't think he truly gave me that full support as an arm around shoulder, and I'm going to give you a real crack. Now, in the Championship, he didn't think about it because I was scoring goals. I scored 32 goals, and it was an issue. But when we got promoted the following season to the Premier, it sort of changed. He brought in the new boys, and it was like, okay, I'm looking for this consistent game. And it wasn't coming. In fact, he now signed Robbie Fowler in, and he brought Robbie Fowler in and I had 3 goals in like 4 games. And in the last game I played, I scored. And so he went, I think, 7 or 8 games before he scored his first goal. And I'm sitting there thinking, He's almost deflated me because you don't any form. I consistently you knew you would start, you know, very so he did that and as I say, Robbie didn't score his first goal to about 7-8 games, and the strange thing was I was coming on and so it was adding to sort of defense, sort of like, you know, singing feet, you go. And I used to have a little joke with one of the teammates. He used to nudge me, Kevin Orlock. He used to say, just when Robbie missed a chance, the warm up and do. I used to do this heavy sprint down the line and a sprint back, and these Meg fans think I'm coming on and they're singing "Feed the Goat, Feed the Goat." So it's quite amusing. My game that was happening.
KC, did you guys play against each other a lot during that time?
Our teams played against each other quite a bit, to be fair.
I remember Sean in the team when I watched
and stuff.
I think I saw you at Highbury, Sean.
He was a menace, Sean Gota.
Yeah,
very difficult to handle.
Kevin was one of them big boys in terms of. Yes, because again, Arsenal, youth club, big club, you know, the expectations every week, the standards. Yeah, I'm sure he can hear me, so we'll just continue and we'll carry on and hear me.
I'll translate as much as I can. It's like it's so good what you're saying, and the connection's definitely not great. But
Sean, can I ask you a question? I've got many Man City friends, okay, and it would be very remiss of me if I did not ask one of them if they wanted to ask you a question. And my friend who has been a season ticket holder for 38 years at City, supported them all their life. He wants to know, what is your favourite goal for City? What was your favourite goal?
Well, my name is City fans' favorite goal.
Your favorite goal when you played for City,
That will always get a big cheer.
Which one? Which one, Sean?
Which one, Sean? Because you cut out.
Derby. Yes, the Derby goal.
To be plenty Derby. Oh, yeah. United with the yardstick. Which one? Yeah.
I saw that. Yes. I saw that picture. There was prepping for the Derby.
I have an impression a guy who was on the ball.
And you robbed him.
Blind.
Yes. I robbed him. Basically, I robbed him. And the guy, he's a quality player. He had a number of things he could choose to do. And if he was commentating on that, he would say, "What's this silly boy thinking?" Yeah, what's he doing? But yeah, I robbed him. Looked, when I turned around, started to go towards goal, I looked in to see if there was anyone there. And I just went back to the little one to square two and just squeezed it under Barthez, which I was very pleased with. So that will, without doubt, be the favorite one. And that's the goal that keeps on giving.
What was the year, Sean? It's every time I ask a question.
No, it's just the sick, the connections.
I'm wondering if you should change rooms just to so everyone can hear him.
Let's have him come. Let's try one more time. Have him come out and come back in, and then see how that goes. Because it's such great stuff. That goal.
No, but you know that game. I think that game. He got a hat trick.
He did.
I'm sure Sean got a hat. That was at Main Road. He got a hat trick in that game. I'm sure. He did.
Loki 73, he's a gunner, but he sounds like he also likes Man City a little bit. So maybe
that's Arsenal beating them 4-0 away, I think.
4-0 away. Yeah. We beat them 4-0 away. I just saw your gunner emblem, so strike that one. But there are a couple Manchester City fans in chat too, wanting to know these kinds of questions. So we'll ask them to Sean, hopefully, when we get him back. Sean, we've got you back. Can you hear us? You can hear us clearly? I think Gary Neville just tried to cut your internet out because you told that story.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a delay.
Yeah.
Tell us if you...
I think so. But we are good friends, so I think we'll be okay. Just about.
Okay, good stuff. Sean, tell us about the best players you had in the dressing room. Who were your influences? Mentors, you know, from a
who
mentor.
Was your service?
Yeah,
who was your service, Sean?
Oh, there you go. That's player talk right there. I like it.
I who was the service? The service provider.
Yeah.
Well, in the dressing room, these two players, it was day and day because these two players now started to get the ball down and string together 15 passes. Whereas what the tactics was win the second balls, get it wide, you know, get it in behind them. But when it was better to them because they got balls into me, balls down the side, you know, Ali Benabi had run and didn't quite was, but the ball would be in front of me with just a keeper. This
great player.
This guy was absolutely brilliant. He won French player, which tells you he had to be some player. And we got towards the end of his career. So absolute brilliant player. For me, I believe he could actually play. We got him towards around 32-3, but I imagine that, you know, even someone like him around 28 was absolutely full because his quality to find that killer pass.
Okay, so Sean, I'm going to ask you to do this for me. I'm going to try and tackle you right now like Gary Neville. I'm going to try and tackle you like Gary Neville.
Take off the video.
Sean, take off your video and let's see if the audio is better, because you're telling such great stories and the internet connection you have is cutting them out. So let's take a look and see if you just click the video off, if we can hear you better.
It's saying camera, but it's not allowing me to select it.
No, that's better.
Perfect.
That's it.
No, go back.
No, click back.
What you did before, click back.
No.
Yeah, there. Yeah. But he's muted himself.
I can unmute him.
I'll go.
Well, you have to. I've unmuted him, but he has to unmute himself.
Yeah, he's muted it from his end.
Yeah.
Sean.
There we go. Sean, can you hear us?
Let's talk.
I pressed the unmute.
Can you hear me? Yes, we can hear you.
Perfectly.
All right, that's good.
So maybe Ali Benabia, a bit closer to the screen. That might help.
Okay.
So Ali Benabia. And who were the two players, Sean? Ali Benabia. Oh.
What a bummer.
But listen, one thing, when Sean comes back, Ali Benabia was...
They were just real quality. And Ali Benabia was the season I ended up scoring like 32 goals because he was just phenomenal. He really was. And we just started to play a brand of football that was exciting.
And who's the other one, Sean?
Probably the first time in my career I could go to bed on a Friday and sleep very well, because previous, I didn't know where I would get my goals from. So my goals came from just four in the right place, you know, a little bit of a good skill, but I mainly needed I needed service. And when Ali was in the team, it was just because I knew I would get two chances in the game, and there's no better feeling as a striker.
Yes, you're right, Sean. So I love it.
Tomorrow, a couple of chances, and you know, that's currently what men's chances, and there's no better feeling.
Yeah.
So Sean, you talk about, you know, your time at Manchester City, and you played under Joe Royle. You talked about the difference between him and Kevin Keegan. I think now we might have a better connection with you. You talked about Kevin Keegan kind of being great as a motivator, tactically maybe not. We had Warren Barton on the show that talked about Kevin saying, just go out and play. Were you the type of player in the dressing room that liked loud music? Were you just the kind of guy that put your own headphones on? Each player approaches a game completely differently. What was your mantra before a game when you were playing?
No, Yeah, I think you used to love the music, you know, and the player that was responsible for the music, they didn't have a big job, because if they got the wrong music right, that the mood, good music can be up with it. So yeah, the music created that nice little vibe, and I used to bounce from sometimes, you know, if you had your strapping and stuff, just doing a little bit of juggling, a couple, you know, one and two touch of players, and then I'll do that for maybe 5 minutes or so, and then I'll go into the actual physio. We had a couple players that were absolute jokers, and you know, your mind could just go away from the game, because it's just nothing but jokes going on. So I used to, you know, I used to go about amongst in that area, just sort of get away from the game, not to sort of think too hard about it, because you can raise energy so intensely, especially when you're talking about like finals and cup games, nervous energy. So I used to sort of go into the all sorts, and then once they sort of came back out of there, warm up, again, I'd have my last sort of 5 minutes of my own sort of preparation, going through my head, you know, things that I know I'm responsible for, where I am for corners for, or gangs, who I'm marking, you know, what roles I have, responsibilities I have, and knowing that once I knew that I've got my stuff intact, when I was in the field, you should be here, hey, Johnny, you should be here, or hey, Kev, you're in the wrong spot. You know, get him, or who's picking him up? You know, doing your own stuff, and then making sure you're helping someone else. But yeah, that was my sort of mood. But as I got certain experience in the dressing room, I got into my own zone. Really, I had my own music prior to the game. You know, going into the dressing room, I used to also see a sport psychologist. And it was the best decision I ever made, in terms of being able to stay honed in all my goals and my targets, and how to break my game down in a way that was less pressure, you know, because everyone knows the center forward's got to score goals. When you don't score goals, that's when you can get someone saying in the newspaper or some other platform, you know, Godot was a three. And some players can be affected by that. So I learned how to deal with that and how to cope with that. So the sports psychologist was the best thing I'd done. And hence why I was able to, for the whole five seasons being at the club, being a top goal scorer. And the season that, sorry, a no guy scored 11 goals, I said earlier. I had scored 12, but I didn't have 12 league goals. I had four cup goals. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So he was the top goal scorer because he had more league goals. So right. It was the other way around.
Right. Sean, who were the two jokers? Who were the jokers of the dressing room?
Yeah.
I think we missed that part when he was talking about it.
No, we didn't say the names.
No, he didn't. Okay, so unfortunately, we're having a major technical issue with Sean. He's talking about some great stuff with regards to Manchester City, his experience when Anelka came in, Joe Royal, Kevin Keegan, so much great stuff from going from the old second division to the Premier League, playing in front of how he prepares the Manchester Derby, scoring and skinning Gary Neville. But to this day, those guys are all friends.
Can I just pick up on something? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you two ladies, I know how astute you are.
He said stupid.
No, I said astute. He talked about going to a sports psychologist.
Yes.
Because scoring goals, he wanted to make sure because of the pressure.
Yes.
So, you know, you look at Aubameyang right now, he's getting no chances. He said it earlier on. When you're not getting chances, you're struggling. Sometimes you don't know where your next chance is coming from. That's probably Aubameyang right now.
Yeah, totally. And you wouldn't, and you know, back in the day, I don't think a lot of people thought that players were using these kinds of gurus, if you like, KC, because you remember the World Cup Glenn Hoddle squad. I mean, that was a little bit different, but he tried different methods and it was met with, you know, quite controversy with the
big skepticism from the press as well, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but you from know what press. It is. People are scared of alternative, aren't they? They think are. It should just be one way and that's that. But I think Wenger changed all that, to be honest, when he came in with his different diets and his psychologist and stuff like that. One thing that I wanted to pick up on, which is what you said, Kev, was about the managers. You know, in life, you cannot treat your employees all the same. I've said this so many times. Some need an arm around them. Some need appreciation. Some need to be left alone to get on with their job. Some need to just, you know, one
get
minute
a kick
be okay.
up the backside.
Yeah,
Most
you know,
of our team need so that
for,
at the minute.
So for a manager to walk in a changing room and go, just play. See, now that if this was us three, yeah, if someone came in and said, just play, I'd be all over the place. I'd be like, well, what do you want me to do?
No, but Amanda, this is how it works. And this is how Kevin Keegan works. All the work would have been done in the week. So I'd have prepared you and Sophie differently in the week. So when I say to you on a Saturday, go and play, you know exactly what you're doing.
No. I meant that, Kev. Sorry, I didn't mean on the pitch. I meant in training. You can't just go do what you need to do. The thing is, unless you've got, I mean, Wenger seemed to do that quite a bit, but then he had world-class players that just went and wanted to play. But, you know, for instance, if you look at you and Wrighty, you may have needed George Graham to teach you different to Wrighty. You know, I just don't understand how any manager in any business, my manager, has to treat me differently to the person I sit next to. First of all, he's mouth, so we're very different anyway. Yeah. And you have to. Otherwise you're lost. And it's not right to do that.
Welcome to the conundrum of being a manager. Imagine Mikel Arteta. So we could switch it to Mikel Arteta. He comes in. He's been at Man City and seen his team whip us time and time and time again. Culture problems, all of this. And he comes into the dressing room. And the first thing he mentioned was really he's got to change the culture because the club's got to be winners. And he kind of made a bit of a difference, you know, after the restart, etc. But you could imagine now he's pulling his hair out because the same players that he kind of got through to all of a sudden have reverted to type. So it's a massive job.
And it is a massive job. But I do feel that this is where many years of not having a strict manager has not done Emery or Arteta any good. I don't care what anyone says to me. Hold on, I'm just reading that. Well, no, he did have world-class players. He came to a back five that, anyway, whatever. What I was trying to say is that Arteta...
He didn't for a while. He didn't. He made lemonade out of lemons. I mean,
Wenger?
Making top four for 19 years, but the last, however, 10 years of his career, right, where he kept making Champions League football, was Shamak.
Yes,
right.
But what I'm saying is he allowed that culture to do what they wanted.
Yeah, he created an enabled culture. Yes,
and now we're paying the price. So when people keep saying, oh, you lot blame Wenger, well, there is a portion of the last 5 years where I do, I'm afraid, because if I went into a job and I had people saying to me, didn't do it like that, sorry, I'm not doing it like that, and the people above us didn't even bother, you're on your own now. So you've got very strong characters, which I think what is Arteta is finding. So where the people who want Arteta out, that's up to them. But the people that want Arteta to stay want him to get his own team and his own first 11. Yeah, that's going to take time. Whether he gets time or not, if we lose to Southampton Wednesday evening and then we lose
and
to...
By the way, Amanda... It is a big possibility they'll turn us over.
Absolutely. Anyone's turning us over at the moment. I fear anyone. Everton, Saturday evening, you just can't ever he's not going to get that time. And then we bring someone else in and it goes again. Because anyone dealing with these players, I feel sorry for.
You know, Sean, I don't know if you can hear us. We've got you back here. Everyone's been really enjoying what you're saying. We're going to have to get you back and get a better internet connection.
Yeah.
Because your stories are wonderful. But while we have you here, and I know we were only going to have you for 45 minutes, and that's 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, we've got to let you go. What do you think, as an ex-player who's been in these situations from the second division old up to the Premier League at the highest level, you've been also in a struggling team with Arsenal, is it the player, the players, or is it also the manager or a combination of both? What's your take? All right, we tried.
Yeah. We're going to, right, everyone right, we'll listening.
Try, scoop. So someone said
we're going to get him back.
Definitely, definitely going to get him back. And so we're going to get a good connection. Sorry.
So, Amanda, I was going to say with your last comment, then we must be more forgiving of Emery, no?
Yeah, you know what? I think I've been thinking about this the last couple of weeks. I didn't want Emery out until the very last bit anyway, and I got told that I should, and I never listened to anyone else anyway, but they were right, it wasn't working. And then you bring Arteta in and he does work for a bit, and then it doesn't work again, and actually it's got worse than it was under Emery. And I feel Emery did get a little bit you know, it was a bit unfair.
He was a bit bullied, wasn't he, a little bit?
I don't know about bullied, but I feel he was treated unfairly. I think they always wanted Arteta. I think that was the long-term goal, to be honest, because there was musings about that before Emery was even signed.
Mm-hmm. I like that word.
But musings. But what I wanted to say to Kev was, Kev, you're slightly wrong, I'm afraid. You know, when you were talking about Arteta at City, when you said, you know, he went to City, he wasn't the manager at City.
No, I said he was at City.
And watching
he was part of that Man City.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear the part of. Yeah,
beating the brakes off us. That's what I meant.
But you know, it's interesting. And hopefully, my City friends are still watching this, or we will get Sean Gota back definitely, because there's so much I want to listen to. My City friends rated Arteta so highly; they were so gutted when he left. So, what's gone so badly wrong is probably not Arteta, to be honest. It's probably the players. And I've said this, and I know Kev's with me on this. Soph, I know you're slightly different. But the only issue I have, and I have said this in our other podcast group, is he does need, and I said it on the voice note last night, he does need to introduce some kids. He's now going to be forced to, which is good. He shouldn't have had to be forced to, but he's going to have to play two others that we want in. Now, I've got a conundrum with Aubameyang, Kev, and I'm going to ask you as an ex-striker. I've wanted Aubameyang on the bench for a couple of weeks. Not because he's a naughty boy, not because of any of that, but I feel he needs that break. We need that break, and we need to give someone a chance. How long do you think, as a striker that does not score, that looks like he couldn't even hit a barn door? The other night, he looked like
he hit it in the wrong net.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you can't even write that story. It's so Arsenal, isn't it? Aubameyang scores, just not for us.
Yeah,
but how long are you going to give him, Kev? Because obviously, sometimes you say players should play into form.
Well,
but the problem we got is we're not fifth, sixth in the league here. We're in trouble. And I said this a couple of weeks ago.
No, we are. We are but in trouble.
But the way Arteta talks, Kev, is well, he's good in training. He's got everything in training. I don't really care because they're crossing that white line and he hasn't got it on the pitch.
Yeah. But what you must understand is, as a manager, you know if the player's struggling or not. Because you know in training, if the player is struggling, then you could say, do you know what? I'm going to leave you on the bench because I'm going to take you out the firing line a little bit and then get you fired back up to go on. But I don't think Aubameyang is like that. I think Aubameyang has ultimate belief in his ability. It's not been happening on the pitch for him, but it's not been happening on the pitch for Arsenal.
No, so, but Kev. Okay,
no, hold on. Let me finish because you said, how long do you keep it going? Mm. Well, if he's your best striker, it's the manager's job to keep him in that position until it turns. That's the key. Because Ian Wright went for a jack. They're not dropping Ian Wright. When you've got the best striker, you don't drop him. You do not. You find out ways how to give him the opportunities to get back on the horse.
The way Arteta is talking is that he's fantastic in training. That's brilliant. But he's not fantastic on the pitch. And he hasn't been for a long time, Kev. Now, I don't know if you're saying that because you're an ex-striker.
No, but... I'm saying that because I've been through that. That's what I know, etc. What I'm saying is Mikel Arteta can drop him tomorrow if he wanted.
But he's not, is he?
But he's not going to drop him.
But, you know, but Kev, do you agree with that? Do you think he should just keep playing and playing and playing him until we're in the bottom three? And
one thing we don't know when this thing's going to turn around. We don't. But no. I tell you one thing I do know. Arsenal will not be as lethal a team without Aubameyang. Yeah, rub it, Soph.
I'm rubbing it.
And I understand. I understand everybody is... Listen, people are after Aubameyang. People are after this one. He's not playing well. The team are playing poor.
I agree with that. But hold on a second. I agree with that. But the main point of this is we can't score goals. Okay? We cannot score goals. There's no confidence in this team. So I'm going to ask you a question. We lose against Southampton. We lose against Everton. You're still going to play him if he's not scored?
Yeah, why not?
No.
Why not?
No, what do we mean, why not?
Why not? He's our best striker.
He's not our best striker. Not at the moment. He is not.
So who's better than him?
Well, how do we know? He's not playing anyone else.
No. Who is better than Aubameyang?
On paper, he's better.
I'd have Martinelli if he's fit. I'd have Balogun up front if he's fit.
He is the best striker we got. He is the best striker.
On paper.
He is the best. No, not on paper. He is the best striker who's going through a difficult period.
Okay, now I
hold my hand up. He is going through a difficult period.
Yeah. I mean, that's everybody can see that. But Kev, it's not about Aubameyang. It's about Arsenal trying to score goals and win games. Yeah, so surely he's got to look at and say, if we are not scoring with our best striker, who is our best striker, but having a terrible patch at the moment, I'm asking you as an ex-striker.
And I've answered it, but you're not taking my answer.
No, I'm trying to...
The team are not playing well.
Yeah, I know. But hold on, he's had some chances and he's not as a...
He's no longer inside the dressing room, ladies and gentlemen. I think
you're going to have to be referee, so... I'm referee.
Hold on, it's now extra time. We're in extra time. We lost Sean.
We're in the dressing room now.
We've lost since we've lost.
Here's the scoop.
You turn up, PG, and look what happens in the dressing room. There's all... The cups are going.
Let me tell you something. I was thinking about Delia Smith the other day. And she came on that pitch and did what she did. I want to be on that pitch tomorrow night. I tell you something, forget Arteta in the changing room. I am of the George Graham school. That's the problem. That's how I work in my life. I am disciplined. The thing is, I'm sorry, I don't care who you are. If you're not doing it, you're off. That's it for me. That's it. He is getting supply. He is getting chances. He's missing them. Don't you get me wrong. I love Aubameyang. I was thrilled to pieces that he signed. I was desperate for him to sign. But maybe coming off the bench would be better. I don't know. Yeah, I'm asking.
Yeah, you're asking. But because my opinion is different to yours, you're saying no. It's just my opinion.
Everton fans are trying to free me.
EFTV Media, we don't want to see you Saturday night because another game we're going to lose.
Okay, listen, guys, it's true. Right, so I was talking to Chris Wheatley today from Football London, and I said to Chris, like, what's his take being around Arteta, the press conference, the team? Is he really going to make a change? And Chris mentioned that he wanted, which obviously he's not going on information given by the club because no one has team news. That's not how it works. But he said he hopes to see Maitland-Niles play and Smith Rowe. And maybe Chris is getting that a little bit from what's happening on the training ground. KC, Arsenal today on social media, we're really pushing the Gabby pictures, and they were pushing Smith Rowe. They were pushing David Luiz as well. And with Amanda, I agree. So what I said to Chris was, I hope so. But the one change I would make is I'd bench Aubameyang against Southampton. I'd have him on the bench. I would throw, not Eddie, I'd throw Balogun on there. Now, I know some people pronounce it Balogun and some Balogun, right?
Balogunner.
So we'll keep it at Balogun for today. But the KC, you know as well as I that he's so hungry, this kid. He's got a little bit of you, right? He's got a little bit of everything in him. Why not in this game? I think he should have done it in the Burnley game. So I said to Chris, like, why not throw him in there? And then if it's really not going well, Aubameyang can come off the bench maybe and have a bit of a super sub moment.
Yeah, but Sophie, don't get me wrong. When PG mentions that and asks me my opinion, it's only my opinion.
Mm.
Now, whatever Mikel Arteta chooses to do is going to be the right thing for the team because he's with them all the time. If he chooses to put Balogun up front, if he chooses to put Eddie up there, it's I'm going to go with it. But you're asking me my opinion. I will always go for the best striker we have.
For how long, Kev?
Like I said, I would go with the best striker we have.
Okay, so when we come back...
we can always take him off.
Yeah, I agree with you, but he doesn't. But when we come back, we got Southampton and we're coming back post-game Everton, yeah? I'll ask you the same question if he hasn't scored. How long?
Yeah, I'm telling you what I'm going to say. So
what, just keep playing him?
I would. Remember, okay. You're asking me my opinion.
Yeah.
So I'm saying I would play him. I'm not saying he's going to.
Were you not in that team when Rooney scored that wonder strike against the Arsenal? Were you playing that day?
What, Everton?
16 years old, right? And
hungry.
Just came on and was
no
like,
fear.
Just
took the game.
Absolutely turned that game on its head.
So what are you saying? Are you saying Balogun is winning?
Hold on. Can I just say, because you two argue so much and I normally sit here, I'll just say this, yeah? He's hungry, he wants to play, and he is a fantastic prospect. What are we waiting for? I just want to know. We are nearly bottom of the – well, you know what I mean, nearly in the bottom three. We can't score goals. I'm sorry. Me and common sense, I do not understand this. Why are we not giving him a chance? What do we not know that goes on in training that he is not good enough?
He's not signed a contract yet.
Right. Do you know what, Kev? At the moment, I don't care. We need to climb the table a little bit.
You see, this is the problem. This is the problem. You don't care, but the club do.
But hold on a second. Can I just say something? Aubameyang didn't sign his contract and he keep playing him. We didn't know he was going to sign. Doesn't work for him, does it?
Like we've just heard, different players are treated differently. When you're a young player, you are not treated like the top man.
Okay, hold on one second.
What part of that don't you get?
I understand that, KC. Amanda, pop your head up, little babe. Pop your head up, because this one's a good one for you and KC, okay? KC and Amanda, question for you. When Aubameyang doesn't score, what does he offer the team? Can you compare his input to the likes of Salah? I think that he meant Salah, Kane, Mane, Aguero, when they're not scoring. And I think that's a great question.
No, I disagree with that. Because Salah, Kane, Mane have got a fantastic team behind them and Aubameyang doesn't. So I know I sound a bit hypocritical with that second, but no, I couldn't compare it. Someone just asked me before, do I think Aubameyang would score in the Liverpool team? Now, I don't know.
100%
6 weeks ago. I don't know. 6 weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, absolutely. He'd be like top scorer. But he's gone so far down. And also, take away the scoring side of it. And I tweeted about this. Where is our captain coming out and saying, well, what's going on? Because she's
Wolves beat Chelsea 2-1.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good.
Oh, God, it's getting worse.
It's getting worse. If they start winning.
Sorry, PG, carry on.
You know what? Crystal Palace get a late goal. It's brilliant. And then Liverpool go and draw. I was so angry with my Scouse mates. I said, what are your team doing to me? But anyway, where was I?
By the way, Chelsea, Chelsea took
with
the lead.
Yeah, with GQ Giroud, my boy.
This is, Chelsea took the lead and they come back and beat
2020
them.
Could not get any worse. We could get relegated and they could win the league.
We're not getting relegated. I don't think we are. Listen, I know Nottingham Forest fans
we
and
can't
Leeds fans
even score a goal.
Newcastle fans, I know. But listen, this is why I think what Amanda's saying, Casey, is really important because, you know, you guys have really defended Arteta, and I think where Amanda is at right now is that she's on the brigade of, listen, he needs a chance. We all agree that he has to create the team in his image. Some Arsenal fans are asking whether he's the right guy to create that team in his image. But what he hasn't done, which when I heard this press conference today, PG and Casey, I was listening to him talking about Xhaka. He's stubborn. He's not changing course. He's just not. And you know what? We're lucky that Jack is banned. Who else is banned?
Bellerin.
Bellerin is banned. We're bloody lucky because he's forced to make a change. And maybe the force will be with you, but maybe that force will then infuse some type of energy in the team against Southampton. You'll be on the sidelines tomorrow.
Well, firsthand.
But Soph, he would not have made those changes.
No, he wouldn't have. That's the point.
That's what Sophie's saying.
I'm going on the other side a little bit. I don't expect Arteta to throw Xhaka under the bus. I listened to that. And he did the right thing. As a manager, you do that private. I don't like all these things coming out from changing rooms. This one's not talking to that one. They had a fight. I don't want to know any of that. I feel that should be kept in the changing room. But I am a bit old school. I know I'm not the young social media, you know, type, even though I'm on social media. I'm trying to explain that certain things, when you go to Vegas, they stay in Vegas. That's what I mean. I know plenty of stories from the old days around Kev's time that I'd never talk about. But what I'm trying to say, not you personally, but your era. But I'm saying is, that's how we were brought up. You don't talk to the press. It stays in Arsenal and that's it. It stays in your club. They're your family and you protect that. Problem is, I do not... I watched Arteta and he defended Xhaka and said whatever he said. I watched it, yeah? He did right, Soph. I'm sorry, he did right. Whatever we think of I've just had a message. Whatever we think of Arteta and whatever we think of Xhaka, and I'll say this again. Me and you argued and I came back from that game and he threw his shirt on the pitch. I told you exactly what happened, what I saw it, how I felt, didn't want him to play for us again. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the season, he started to pick up and I thought maybe under Arteta, he might have a chance. He started to play well. They all did. Yeah, I was wrong. So wrong. Should never play for us again. He will, but he shouldn't. Now, he's not good enough. Yeah.
In
your eyes, he shouldn't. But yeah. I know he
and
will.
And mine.
Yeah, I know. Pepe, but he shouldn't Pepe have done because I'm of the old school of the discipline thing. But Pepe came out and apologised straight away. He's a youngster. Xhaka is an international. You do not do that.
Arteta should be ashamed of himself today. Ashamed as a manager.
No.
He throws a young player under the bus in front of the world's media and then he defends Xhaka.
No, how did he throw Pepe under the bus?
He called him out in the press conference after the game.
What? For doing something stupid?
But
how is that throwing him under the bus?
Okay, so go and listen to how he spoke about Xhaka today. Xhaka is great in training and I trust his professionalism.
Yeah, but can I just say something here? So if you're comparing apples and oranges at the moment, because we don't know what Pepe's like in training, he may be quite childish kid. He may not have that maturity. Yeah. And also a manager has to deal with someone different. Maybe Pepe needs to be thrown under the bus. Maybe Xhaka needs the arm. That's where I go to the beginning. Arteta knows his players. Okay. He's not an idiot. The man wants to win. That's all I'm going to say. What I don't understand, Kev, and I will say it to him blue in the face. You have a man, a teenager called Balogun, who we feel is going to be wonderful. If he isn't, fair enough, but please play him and try. I'm not asking for every single player to be replaced. It won't work. One or two. And
PG.
I like Eddie anyway. And
Ketia, I understand.
I call him Nick
Tier,
by the way. What?
I understand what you're saying. Of course I do. But when it comes to football clubs, there's a certain thing that has to happen at football clubs for these young men to progress.
Yes, and I agree.
And signing a new contract is an important part.
He played Aubameyang and he hadn't signed his contract. That is my point.
Again, you cannot compare Balogun to Aubameyang.
Well, then don't talk about not signing a contract, because we're very real at doing this. We're running contracts down.
No, I have to talk about it.
Do you know what, Kev? We're desperate.
Hold on. Do you want me to answer the question? Or
no,
because
I haven't been on for a couple of weeks. Now go on.
Listen, let me tell you something, right? This shit is real. That's what we know, okay? We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And now the only person who has the power to fix it is the manager and the players.
Right,
but it all starts with the manager.
Right.
He's now in a position tomorrow, PG, and I hand it over to you. I know just desperate to say something here. He's been forced into two changes, Bellerin and Xhaka. Hopefully we'll see Pepe come in for Willian. But after I saw Edu defending and coming out and talking about Willian, there's something about it, Amanda, where it's just like there's certain players they're going to defend. And there are some people in chat that talked about Pepe and the Xhaka thing. I'm sorry. Someone did say Pepe's 25 years old. He's not a baby, all right? And Arteta did throw him under the bus. And he did say that we lost the game because of his stupidity. He absolutely did. But here's the problem, right? Arteta's the one with the power now, PG. He's the one that can make the changes. And look, they've even made PG disappear. That's how bad it is.
I just sneezed. No, right. I wanted to say something, yeah? Probably there's a reason why he hasn't signed his contracts, but you know what? I don't care. Just throw him in and let him get some goals for us so we can get some points.
Sanchez played for us when he wasn't willing to sign a contract, right, PG?
Robin Van Persie.
Again,
players.
We're talking about a young lad who's not played in the Premier League, and we're talking about top players. You can't treat them the same. What part of that don't you get?
No, I do get that. I understand that. And it's probably a bit silly of me to compare Aubameyang to Balogun. But my point is this. I'm a very black and white thinker, yeah? We're not scoring goals. We have a kid that might be able to score goals. He's sitting on the bench, and the person is... So,
but he's not. He's not sitting on the bench.
Well, okay,
He's not even on the bench.
Okay, so let's...
If you said to me, Balogun on the bench, fair enough.
Okay, but, all right,
but
Kev,
to take the top man out...
I'll tell you who is on the bench, Nketiah, who I've always called Nicotia, but apparently that's wrong because I always get the names wrong. Nketiah's on the bench. He deserves a chance, yeah? So he's hungry, and every time he comes on, he looks up for it. Put him on.
I agree with Amanda, I think this is what's going to happen. I don't agree. You think he's going to throw Smith Rowe in there against Southampton?
No. I think he'll put Ainsley on. I think
Maitland-Niles will play at right back.
I don't think we're going to get what we want.
Isn't that what you've been asking?
Yeah, that's fine.
I've been begging, Casey. I'm not going to be shy.
Maybe he'd be able to take a throw in a corner and actually meet man.
Do you know what? I'd like to see Cedric at right back and Maitland-Niles in midfield.
Yeah, I'd go for that.
I'm not saying throwing him on for one game. I'm saying play him. I'm sorry. Lucky Rooney's manager didn't think like that, wasn't it? Seriously, yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. I don't get this age thing. Kev, let me ask you a question, yeah? If you were in this team now and you were Balogun, Eddie, whoever, a young striker coming through and you were up for it, you were hungry and you were doing it in the Europa League.
That was me.
Right, okay. Oh. So if I sat here in the 80s and said, throw that Campbell on.
What's aging, Casey? Say early 90s.
If I'd have said early 90s, throw that Campbell on. For God's sake, he scores goals. Yeah? Everyone would agree. I don't know anyone that's not agreeing with me that Aubameyang should be.
But Amanda.
I just want to know how long you're going to play him for.
Amanda, I'm going to tell you again.
Welcome to the
your
club,
opinion,
PG.
I'm not against your opinion because listen, your opinion, a lot of people share your opinion, but there are different things that go on in a football club.
Of course.
Whether you like it or not, you don't care. You're black and white, straight there. Sometimes things ain't black and white.
No, I know. Listen, I know someone who deals with players and watches things that go on at different clubs. And, we don't know their energy levels. We don't know what knocks they've taken. We don't know how they've trained. They could play the press very differently to how we see it. Pepe, for instance, as I said, we want Pepe on, but he could be petulant. We don't know. And that is why Arteta probably got a bit annoyed with him. Maybe Xhaka isn't petulant in training. Maybe he is the perfect, you know, player, trainer sort PG, of thing for the manager. But
PG, let's add this bit in. All these people saying that Arteta threw Pepe under the bus, right? Wasn't it Pepe who came out and said he wants a chance to play, etc.? This was during the international, wasn't it? Just as the international took over, started, and then we were going into the Leeds game in the second week.
Mm.
And he came back in and bloody gets sent off after, what is it, 50-odd minutes.
So my point is,
that leaves the manager in a very difficult situation.
And absolutely, and that's why I'm trying to explain to Sophie the reason he treated Pepe differently to Xhaka is maybe one's a fantastic player in training, and one is a petulant child who stomps off. We don't know, Soph. What we only see is a very small thing, and as also Kev knows, you know, Kev could be in when you was training with George Graham, the press may have seen you very differently to what George Graham saw you as.
And if you had a bad game, Kev,
okay, one, two, three. If you've got three or four bad games, you know that North Bank we're going to give it to you. You know the East End we're going to give it to you.
100%.
And we never had this because we didn't have social media. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have anything. We just watched with our eyes, yeah? We saw, I remember very, very early on before Bergkamp came to us, I remember standing on that corner opposite the Marble Hall saying to everyone, why can't we sign Bergkamp? For God's sake, why can't we? Because it's easy, isn't it? It's not easy to sign a player.
Listen, you guys. You know, with Xhaka, you guys know, I was a huge fan because of what Arteta said in his press conference today, because I saw it with my own eyes, having spent time with the team. He was the one person out of all of them that felt like a leader. He was the one person that felt, and I'm not going to go back on what I've said.
Because my point stands over and over about Arteta. He sees that, and that's why he didn't get thrown under the bus.
He said that in the press conference, he did say he shouldn't have done that, right? But the way he spoke about Pepe versus Xhaka are very different. And I understand the hierarchy in sports and in a sports team. And maybe he was trying to bitch slap Pepe a little bit and teach him a lesson and wake him up, right? But consistency is key. And I think a lot of Arsenal fans have an issue with Arteta's man management consistency, KC and PG. I think that's where they have issue with how he's handled from the Guendouzi situation to Willian going to Dubai to Ozil to the Ceballos Luis.
Can I just say something? I do not have a problem with him about Guendouzi. Not one ounce. Right.
It's not about what we think. It's about how the players see him managing the team.
I don't care. This is why we need Arteta to get his own players.
I want him to kick it all out.
Sophie, when Guendouzi went away, the team performed in the Community Shield against Liverpool. Did they or did they not?
Yes.
So that is not a problem. The way that we're going to do, again, let's move that aside because you can bring up all this. No, but you can bring up all this stuff. The team performed without him.
No. I'm talking about behind the scenes, about camaraderie, team. There seems to be something that's a little bit together.
But he
hadn't dropped Ozil yet from the squad, Casey. It was different game.
Where was Ozil?
Right, I'm going to talk about
sitting under an umbrella.
I don't think.
We've got 1 hour, 9 minutes, and this show is supposed to be inside the dressing room, everyone.
It's morphed now.
It's morphed because it's not our fault that his internet connection was absolutely terrible. It's such a shame. Yeah, exactly. But we could talk about this all day. I just want to say something. Yeah, look, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm not sure Ozil is as straight and cut are kind of clear-cut as we think. I think there's a lot of hierarchy here. I think that it could be political. We don't know anything. But if you're telling me that we don't need Ozil, I'm sorry. I cannot agree. I don't care what you two say. I'm sticking by that. He's not going to play, so I have to get over that. I understand.
Stick by it.
I think the more I think about the Xhaka and the Pepe, what Soph was saying is
Xhaka.
They're very different. Look, when you met Xhaka, you loved him. He was an absolute gentleman, wasn't he? He was fantastic to talk to. I think this is what I was trying to say at the beginning, Soph. We don't know what they're like in training. Pepe could be petulant. He could be a kid who throws his toys out. Xhaka, it could be, I can't even think of the word I'm trying to think of, like perfect. I can't think of the word. But so he was annoyed at Pepe because he's probably sick of the antics. He's not annoyed with Xhaka. He's annoyed, but he hasn't got that. He's trying to curb Pepe in some way. I've always wanted
to build
Pepe.
A culture, I think, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, he's got to rebuild a culture and a new DNA.
And also, he's stuck with who he's got till January, and God knows what's going to happen in January. Not that I'm even discussing transfers, because, you know, I hate all that. But I just feel, I'm sorry, Kev, I would, and I've said it for about 10 days, I would not have Aubameyang out front. I know everyone in chat, I can see it on my phone, that are saying that he's not getting enough supplies, not getting enough chances, but he is getting chances, whether it's one, two or three, put one of them away. I did truly believe on, not against Burnley, the other one where I predicted, I thought Aubameyang was going to get a couple of goals, didn't even turn up. Now, what is the best for this player? What is the best for Aubameyang to get him going again? Put him on the bench and bring him on from it, or just keep playing him?
I've told you what I would do. You could say what you would do, but ultimately, it's not up to us.
I do worry, Kev, because every time I sit down and watch Arsenal, I've got this positivity, which is unlike me. I keep thinking this is it. This is the game where we're going to turn it. We're all of a sudden, we're going to get four goals. And every game, I keep getting let down. I keep thinking, and now Southampton are doing so well.
Sorry.
Well, I don't know what you're laughing at. But...
No, it was from Garner Gunnar, Ozil the Brain.
Because I made the comment about calling players Brian yesterday, PG. I'll debrief you on it.
Listen, a lot of people don't want...
Garner, thank you for joining us, Garner Gunnar.
Yeah, hello, Garner. A lot of people don't want Ozil to play, but I still feel... Look, it's no point talking about it. He's not going to play anyway.
He wasn't offering anything when he was playing.
Well, but he can't. He's better than what we have got. He would at least create some chances.
But he wasn't playing. No. Look, I think we look and we want it to work because it's not working, and we don't have the creativity in terms of how it is, you know, coming to fruition in games under Arteta's... you know, tactical formation. It's just not happening right now. He keeps trying to put square pegs in round holes. He's got to take some risks, and the players need to do better. There's no doubt about that. And maybe Aubameyang will play better if he... I don't think Aubameyang likes playing with Willian. I don't think he likes it, Casey. I think he likes playing with Pepe.
I don't like it.
Lacazette and himself.
Sophie, can I ask you a question? You just made a comment there. I just want to ask a question.
Sure. Go on, Kev.
Square pegs in round holes, where?
Where?
Yeah, where? Where are the square pegs in round holes?
Well, let's talk about like the three versus the four and then Bellerin. I was talking to Josh from a Burkamp Wonderland today about Bellerin masquerading as like a midfield support for Xhaka and Elneny in the game the other day. And then you talk about Saka being played at left back when really he should be played left midfield. Then you've got Maitland-Niles.
How is that square pegs in round holes when he's played Saka's there better, for his Saka's country?
Saka's better.
But he's played there for his country. He can play left back, he can play wing back, and he can play left midfield.
When he plays for his country, he's surrounded by far superior talent.
So what you're saying is he's not surrounded with talent at Arsenal?
I think that he... Not right now, no.
Not really, no.
No. He's surrounded by talent, but talent's not performing.
Playing with...
So then he's not with talent, Kev, is he at the moment?
No, he's with talent, but not performing. What are you talking about? Because you're not performing don't mean you're not talented.
I wouldn't class Xhaka as talent, I'm afraid. I just wouldn't.
You would? Maybe you won't, but you know what?
No
Arsenal
one would.
Football Club spent 40-odd million to bloody buy him. And we don't know his best position.
Listen, KC, here's the scoop. I think you know, when I say square pegs, round holes too, he played Willian and Saka in that force, that 10 position, right? And we talked about that against Sheffield United, where really it was the best we've seen us for. I think that game is the blueprint for him to look at, to use as a marker for how we can have speed. He doesn't, Xhaka's slow. Leno's slow distributing the ball. We're like sloths. Is it sloths? Yeah, we had mosquitoes last night.
Sloth. Oh, yeah. I like that. Mosquitoes, moths and...
And myths. Tonight we're going to have sloths. And that's the problem. It's not moving quick enough. It doesn't move quick enough or fast enough. Look at the activity of Tierney and how the left side when he's playing with Saka is so different. Another thing that Josh and I were talking about today too, which is true, and I completely agree with him. And he's going to be he's going to visit with us for a little bit on Thursday as well on the Kevin Says segment. So KC, it's at the end of the day, with all these little things, forget player personalities and all that type of stuff, with all these small things, Arteta's responsible and he's the one that can change it. And we're all powerless.
So again, I'm going to say this again and I'll keep repeating myself until I can't be blue in the face, but I'm going to keep repeating it, right?
Two green teas.
Make it three. Yeah. Let's put it this way. All Arteta can do is prepare the players as best he can, and the staff. When they cross that white line, they have to do their job. That's what they paid for. Let's have it right. That is what they paid for. And they've proved that they can do it. But one thing, they are not doing it. So all they need to do is their job.
Yes. Kev. Right. I agree.
We're going to have to go soon.
Just carrying on. I could just go for ages now. I mean, one of those moods.
Well, we could take a break and come back if you want. But I've got to go get some lunch. No, go on.
You go. Leave us. We'll just be here for
a while.
I'll
just put myself on mute.
Lunch. It's 10 to 9 in England. Right. Kev, they're not doing it. And when you don't do it, your manager can only get as much out of you as possible. If you have some reserves on the bench, you use them. I don't really understand anything else. That's it.
He has got subs and he has used subs.
But he don't. I can't.
No, but you're saying he needs substitution, make substitution. It does
Amanda
make substitution.
Is where I was at 2 weeks ago. I'm kind of loving this. I mean,
I knew you would. No. But you see, I am.
And it's not the subs you want. And this is the problem. Everybody is a manager. Everybody's a coach, but they're not making the decisions.
Right.
But it's easy to second guess and say this one should be playing, that one should be playing, that one should be. It's easy to do that.
Right. Kev, yes, I agree with that comment before. Kev, I understand. We all think we're a FIFA manager. I get that. All I'm saying is, we need to score goals. We're not scoring goals. We may have a player that can actually score goals. We don't play him. So I'm sorry. I know many people don't live in the black and white world. I get that. There is a grey area in every respect. But in this respect, there isn't. We need to score goals. We need to win games. We need to get 3 points.
Okay, with that said, Matthew is asking us for predictions for Wednesday. We did that yesterday, but you weren't here, Amanda. So we'll get yours and KC can repeat his for everyone. KC's going to be on the sideline tomorrow broadcasting Arsenal.
Live and direct. I'm seeing it with my own two eyes.
I'm expecting you to go up to Arteta and say, bring on Balogun. I dare you.
He might not even be on the bench.
No, I know. Or Eddie. I don't care. Just someone up front.
KC, you have to mention the name Brian during your broadcast tomorrow.
If KC mentions the name Brian, me and Sophie will invite you to our Christmas party next week.
We're going to have a DJ as well. All right, here we go. KC, what's your prediction?
He has declined our invite to our Christmas party. Do one. I don't care if you don't DJ.
Don't worry, I will do one.
I know how to party anyway.
I said one each.
Do you know what, Kev? Sophie's hungry. What's your prediction?
I said one each, 1-1.
Oh, I was going to do that because I'm fed up.
You still can, can't you?
I'm predicting a draw, but I'm actually going 0-0.
This is my favourite Of all the messages we've had all night, this is my favourite. 6-1.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think 1-0. I actually think we're going to win 2-1. I've not on meds. I've not been drinking. I keep thinking it's coming. I do. I'm so positive at the moment. I think 2-1 Arsenal.
Listen, I always want Arsenal to win.
I know you do.
Okay.
I just look at the way they are actually playing. And
Southampton are very dangerous.
Don't forget this as well, you know, peeps. This time last year, Southampton were second bottom, losing 9-0.
Yes. Unbelievable. With the same manager.
And year, look what the manager's done, taking them to third. Unbelievable. Right. With the same players. I wonder how he did that.
No, he's the one, Sophie. So give him time then, innit? Give the Where's manager time, for God's sake. Give him some time. Let him move and shake.
He's been there 1 year now, Casey. He's 1 year. He took the job, a year ago?
No. You said, look what the manager done in a year. So
do you know what,
Kev?
Listen,
do what he's got
I'll
to
be
do.
Very disappointed tomorrow if you do not take your boots, put them on and come on the 69th minute and go and score a goal.
Embarrass those bastards.
Yeah. You go and win it for us.
All right, look, we're way over time, and thank you for joining, because the show,
PG's fault.
Listen, she hasn't been on a while, so she turned inside the dressing room into a post-game show, which is fine because, you know, it's the Highbury squad. We didn't really have a dressing room because we lost Mr. Sean Gota, who we're going to get back for you with his great stories. I actually think we might have a shot tomorrow without Bellerin and Xhaka. I live in hope like every other Arsenal fan.
What was your prediction?
My prediction before was that we were going to lose 4-2. I was somehow thinking we'd find two goals from somewhere. One a penalty and the other one an own goal.
Do you know what? I keep hoping that someone even scores an own goal for us, or it goes off in the 89th minute off of his shin and it just crawls in the goal. We just need, listen, I have to be honest, we need a bit of luck. It's not falling for us. Everything the other night did not fall for us. We had chances, we could have won the game. We just didn't take them. It just didn't work.
Here's what we can't do, PG. Okay. I'm just getting as many messages from PG's a wrecking ball.
What does a wrecking ball mean?
He's
the wrecking ball is smashed down the
outfits. Listen, I need to be in the changing rooms. I'm telling you now, I need to be in the changing rooms. Me and Tierney would have them. I'm telling you.
Musa, get your own link, babe. He's not going to send you a link for the broadcast, okay? So let's leave that one live. We want him to take pictures. We want Casey to get his boots ready. We want him to send us
on your phone.
The legend is here. We've taken pictures. 22.
And a little bit of live link going down there. And just send Aubameyang our love and just say, score a goal.
Listen, thanks to everyone for joining. It's been an impromptu, different, weird show. And you know what? Every now and again, we have them, and that's fine because it doesn't matter. We hope you've enjoyed it. Any last words, and I mean last words, from you?
Because she's hungry. When a woman is hungry.
I have an appointment at 1:30.
What time is it?
I've got some last words before PG goes. I'd like to see Arsenal fight tomorrow. Because let me tell you something, Southampton are going to come and they want our scalp. So it's a great time for our boys to roll their sleeves up and get stuck in tomorrow.
All right. PG, what last words? I think Theo will score.
I don't want to listen to what Carl says because...
Casey and I talked about it yesterday. We were like, it's inevitable.
Oh, yeah, it's inevitable. He's probably going to have like... He'll probably play like peak Barcelona, won't he, Theo? what about the other one who we sent there? Oh, no, these are Everton. I get confused wherever they've gone.
Oh, Iwobi. You're thinking about Iwobi?
Yeah. I've got Everton on my brain.
That's Saturday.
Walcott tomorrow and he won't be Saturday. It just gets better.
Amanda,
the only thing is, I would like to say something a little bit negative, and I was a bit upset. I'm quite upset at the fans on Sunday night. I know it was raining. I know the team was awful, but I didn't hear one song. And I'm quite disappointed, if I'm honest. And I'm disappointed in Arsenal for not allowing them to sing and not put them together. You can still socially distance, but be in the same stand, for God's sake. They do it all the other clubs. Anyway, it doesn't matter now because we can't go to football anyway again. So what I'd like to say is this was supposed to be a pod. I was just going to be on and ask a couple of questions. Yeah, I was looking forward to speaking to
Sean. And you've taken over.
And I've just ranted. It's quite good, really, because I've been on for a bit.
Get it off the shoulder.
All right, good. Get it off your chest.
Right, no.
Everyone, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Go for lunch.
It's a meeting. It's very important. And it's...
She wants me to shut up. Right. Thank you, everyone.
Actually, it's great that you're here. And, you know, I mean, if we'd have known that we were going to have a terrible connection with Sean, then it would have been different. But it's great because, you know why? It's like Arsenal. It's different, but nothing is the same. Or it is the same. To take over. You know what, Casey? I'm a little bit hungry and I'm a little bit thinking in the back of my mind. I've got half an hour now to get ready, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And coffee. Amanda, just take us out. It's been a while since we've heard you take us out. So
I'll take you out. Now, come on, Arsenal. We've got this. We have got this. This is for us tomorrow night. Remember, always Arsenal.